Thank you for joining us today as Awaken Me celebrates 1 year of broadcasting here on KWAM, the Almighty 990, 990 AM and 107.9 FM.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of
my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. His nail to the cross, and I bear it more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Lord, that's our prayer this morning. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that thou hast regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Lord Jesus, we're powerless to pray in our own strength today. We're powerless to preach. We're powerless to sing, Lord God. In fact, Lord, we're just powerless. We're powerless to bring revival, though we've all prayed for many years. We're powerless in ourselves, oh God, but you're not. Lord, we pray this morning with an expectation, oh God. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, oh Lord, in the morning when I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and barren land where no water is, that I might see thy power and thy glory as I've seen you in the sanctuary, Lord. Lord, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high lifted up, and his glory filled the temple, O God. Lord, I pray this morning that you remove every obstacle and every life in this room today. Lord, last night you had me up late praying for Jay Cons, Lord Jesus. That you want to bless this church, Lord, praying for Ben over here to my left, oh God. Pray for Ricky Floyd, Lord Jesus, and other ministries represented in this room. Oh God, we need you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to tear open the heavens and come down to this nation. Lord, we're shut up to you. We're crowded to Christ. We have a veil behind us and the sea before us. But Lord, our eyes are upon you, Lord. And we stand in the covenant mercy of Almighty God. Lord, that you are covenant-keeping God. And you honor your covenant promises, oh God. And Lord, this nation who has seen revival in the past, that's seen a glorious awakening in the past, oh God, we pray, do it again, Lord, do it again. Remove the coldness and the lethargy, oh God. Lord, where did we lose our cutting edge of the axe head? Where did we lose it that fell into the water, the cutting edge of the spirit-filled life? Lord, in our busyness, it's easy to lose it. In our lack of watchfulness, it's easy to lose it. The man of God went to the man of God and said, oh, it was borrowed. He said, show me the place. And Lord, he came and showed him the place where he lost it. And that the point of departure is the point of return. And Elisha threw that stick in, the symbol of the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus. And that axe head did swim, and there was resurrection power in life. Dear God, as Todd comes this morning, I claim afresh the authority of the cross of Calvary. God, that you'll bring us in the church back. Lord, don't not only set us back 100, but Lord, set us back 2,000 years, all the way to Pentecost and Calvary, oh God. God, may we live and preach the message of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. God, may you invade Memphis and Collierville. May you invade Germantown, oh God. As I drove in today in Central Church in Germantown down the road, oh God, that you would fill those campuses and all the other ones, oh God, with people crying out to God for mercy. Lord, that the conviction, judgment day, convicting power of the Holy Spirit will descend upon this nation. Dear God, be it through broadcasting or through other ways, but especially through the pulpits of America. God, raise up a band of men, women, and children who will preach Jesus, oh God, across this nation. And Lord, may there be the conviction that sweeps through the homes and every valley and every hamlet, every city, every village, oh God. Lord, I'm telling you, we can't make it happen, but you can. So Lord, do it because you keep your covenant promises. That I'll pour water upon him that's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Lord, we're thirsty. Lord, we're thirsty. Lord, we're thirsty for a move of your spirit, oh God. We're so, so thirsty, oh God. Lord, move on our Christian university campuses. May revival break out on our Christian college campuses, oh God, and spread across this world. The God that came to Wales in 1904, come again here, Lord Jesus. God that came through men like Billy Graham or Stephen Olford or Adrian Rogers. God, come again, we pray, Lord Jesus. We cast ourselves at your feet, oh God. And we take our hands this morning and we reach into that water and we lay hold of that axe head. And we appropriate it. And Lord, I pray what you put on my heart this morning about this precious audience, people whom I love, I don't know everyone here, but I ask you, God, that the fire of the Spirit of God will rest upon our souls, oh God. Right now in this room, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single one of us, oh God. We bend our necks, we bend our soul to you, Jesus. We humble ourselves before you, oh God. We say, oh God, meet us indeed, God, meet us indeed, God, meet us indeed, God, meet us indeed. And burn out of us everything that's not of you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, fill us afresh with the Spirit of the living God. Fill us, Lord. Empty that thou shouldst fill us a clean vessel in thy hand with no power, but as thou givest graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Rest your hand, Lord, upon Todd as he comes in a few minutes. And God, speak to our hearts. And all of us in this room, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Touch every family represented. Touch every marriage represented. Touch every church and every ministry represented in this room, Lord Jesus, today. And God, show up and show out. Show us your great and mighty hand today. Lord, be not silent. Make bare your holy arm. And show us, oh God, what you can do. As we stand still to see the salvation of God. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, Lord God. Amen.
Welcome to Awaken Memphis. We're really privileged this morning to have Todd Starnes with us. Many of you know Todd when he was a commentator for Fox News for 15 years. I believe he got a little bit too conservative for him. And he came to Memphis last year and purchased a radio station, KWAM. Todd's going to have to leave here immediately after speaking this. He's got an interview with Newsmax. Then he also does a nationally syndicated talk program for several million people from 11 to 2. And he's on AM 990. Todd is an author. First time I was introduced to him, he was sharing his Jihad Culture book that had just been released. He has another book that is coming out this month. It's called Give Me My Daily Biscuit. It's a devotional guide. He'll be starting his book tour at First Baptist Dallas here in a couple of weeks with Jeffries in conjunction with the NRB. This man is a patriot. He is doing something very significant on a secular radio station. So, Todd, I told you were coming to a camp meeting, so however the Lord leads you, Todd, okay?
Well, good morning. What a blessing to be here. I'm really relieved when David first invited me. I'm glad it's Awaken and not Woke. So I was a little, just briefly. What an honor to be with you. And Todd, it's good to see you. The Bot Radio coffee is delicious, by the way. So thank you for that. Thank you for the ministry that Bot is doing here across the Mid-South. And they're doing incredible work. To God be the glory for that. We're going to have some fun this morning as we talk about some things that are happening on the national level and how those are impacting us here in the Mid-South. And just wanted to share a little bit about what we're doing at KWAM. And how God is moving in that great radio station. Just a few days ago, Sunday, I was on the red carpet at the K-Love Fan Awards. This was the first time that there had been a full capacity concert at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. I thought it was rather interesting that the first capacity concert was a worship service. It was very exciting. They had me on the red carpet. I never thought in my career I would go from interviewing presidents to asking people who they were wearing. One guy actually asked him, I said, who are you wearing? And he said, Target. And I'm like, oh, that's my kind of people. I stopped asking this question after the third time, but everybody was just dressed beautifully and they were walking through and I've been asking them, so what have you been up to over the past year of the China virus pandemic? And it dawned on me after the fourth woman who came by who was pregnant that they were very busy over the past 9 months. Anyway, Christian music is about to get an explosion of new people. Also, it's always important now, apparently, in our cancel culture, woke society to announce your personal pronouns. So I go as, hey, you are biggin. So just conduct yourselves accordingly. I was born and raised here in Memphis, Tennessee. I was born at the Old Baptist Hospital. My grandfather moved our family here after he was put in charge of the tower at Memphis Airport. And my dad went to Whitehaven High School and graduated there. And my grandparents were longtime members at Whitehaven United Methodist Church. Grandparents retired to a place called Kirby Pines when it was first built. They were one of the first residents in there. And my grandmother lived to be 103 years old. She is now with the Lord. So we just have a wonderful time, a wonderful experience growing up here, going to places like McKellar Park, if you remember that back in the day. And of course, Mud Island, when that monorail actually worked back in the day. Those were incredible years for me growing up. The things that I learned here, going to Vacation Bible School, my grandmother made sure that we went to Vacation Bible School at Whitehaven UMC. My father was invited on the job site in South Haven to a Baptist church during a revival service back in the early 1970s. My father was not a believer, and he came back from that revival service. His life was changed. He walked the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And the next night, he brought my mother to that revival service. My mother grew up in a Catholic home, and my mother walked that aisle, and she accepted Christ. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, we were attending an outdoor Southern gospel singing at a place called Rabbit Ridge in Byhalia, Mississippi. And it was at that place where I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And there was a pond there. I'm not sure if it's there. Byhalia is like a metropolitan area now. But there was a pond there, and I took the nasty plunge, as they say. They dunked me good. And my mother asked the preacher, make sure you dunk him twice because he needs all that sin washed away. So I got a double dipping. Is the pond still there? Wow. I've got to go back and see that pond one of these days. All that to say, the lessons that I learned here, the things that I experienced here in the Mid-South, I carried with me when I was anchoring the news in Sacramento, California. I was still that guy from Memphis, Tennessee. When I moved to New York City and began working at Fox News Channel, I brought those values with me. That's who I was. And it was a great blessing to work at the Fox News corner of the world. I've got to be honest with you. I never in a million years imagined that's where God was going to send me. Because my comfort zone, if you asked me years ago, Todd, what do you want to do? How do you want to spend your life serving the Lord? I would have said, I want to own a small newspaper in a little town called Mayberry, and I just want to have a good old country life. And that was just not in the cards for me. And for a good chunk of my early years, I was really struggling with that because I was wanting to do what I wanted to do, but God had another plan for me. And until I surrendered to that plan, I was not going to be happy in life. And when I was in Sacramento, I had one of these life-changing moments. And I don't know what it's like for you, but for me, sometimes God just has to gently nudge you on the shoulder. And sometimes God has to poke folks. And then there are others that he has to basically rip open their chest and just whack their heart around to get their attention. And I'm that guy. So in 2005, May 17th, 2005, I went to the doctor. I thought I had a little bit of a bronchitis, touch of bronchitis. And it turned out that I, in fact, had a cardiac cough. I was 37 years old at the time, and apparently I had been born with a heart condition that had gone undetected for all these years. It was the widowmaker. My aortic valve was faulty and was beginning to fail, and I had to have open heart surgery at the age of 37 years old. And I got to tell you something, that got my attention pretty quick. And I remember going through some of those experiences in my life and going through those experiences. And there were a couple of truths that I discovered. First of all, I had a lousy prayer life because my prayer life up to that moment was basically a here's what I want list. And I realized that's really not what prayer is all about. But I will say this, I ended up praying what I thought was going to be the most honest prayer of my life in those days. I remember they were going to record all of this for a series of reports. Todd goes through heart surgery, Todd survives heart surgery, and Todd recovers from heart surgery. And my news director at the time said, Todd, we were doing this during something called the Sweeps Week, you know, where you try to get more people to watch and listen to your station. And I remember my news director saying, I think in a joking way, Todd, God forbid you keel over, but it would be great for ratings. And I thought, okay. So they were going to record my prayer, and I'm a Southern Baptist. I know the Episcopalians are pretty good at prayers. They got a book of them. So I went out and found an Episcopal vicar, and I said, can I get one of these book of prayers? And I was looking through the book of prayers, and so I jotted down a few notes, and I was going to record my prayer right before they launched me into the surgery suite. And I remember writing these words down. They were written in my first book. Almighty, most holy Father, please blesseth the surgeon as he cutteth upon thy servant Todd. And I thought, that doesn't really sound authentic, does it? And then I remember as they hooked this big garden hose up to me and they started feeding all these drugs into my body to knock me out, I actually prayed the most honest prayer of my life at that moment. I forgot about that made-up prayer. And I prayed what was truly the most genuine prayer, God, please don't let me die. And then I was out. The Lord saw fit to grant that prayer, and he answered that prayer. And I woke up. They were there, by the way, to record the first words after I woke up and came off of life support. And it's interesting about this little device. It's about the size of a Susan B. Anthony dollar. That's how big the aortic heart valve is. You don't see it. It's not like a sexy part of the body, you know, like your hands or your feet. You know what those things do, your earlobes. You know what those things do. But there are other parts of the body that are just as important that you don't know much about. And it's interesting that Susan B. Anthony-sized device is literally keeping me alive right now. And it reminds me in the New Testament, we're told that the body has many parts, and every part has a purpose. Every part has a responsibility. That Bible verse came to life for me during that experience. They were going to be there, and I was going to say something fairly dramatic. To God be the glory. That's, you know, Todd, you just survived open heart surgery. What do you want to say? To God be the glory. And so anyway, I'm still a single man, and I was groggy, and they were there, and they recorded those words. They said, Todd, you have survived open heart surgery. What do you want to tell Sacramento? And I just said, I need a woman. That's... This is the story of my life. But you know, it's interesting because I was having a great time in Sacramento, beautiful people out there, the only major city not on a fault line, so no earthquakes. And while I was there, a group at Fox News in New York City reached out and said, hey, we heard your story about your heart surgery, and we want you to move to New York City and begin working at the Fox News corner of the world. Well, we prayed about it and sure enough moved to New York, and it was truly a blessing to live there and to work there. But there are seasons in life, and my season came to a close back in 2019. About the time I was back in Memphis and I was driving down Poplar Avenue and there was a severe thunderstorm, so I turned on the local news talk station to find out what was going on, if I needed to find cover. And they were in syndicated programming. Nobody was doing any local weather coverage. And that just really bothered me. I got a bee in my bonnet. I don't know why, but I did. So I thought to myself, you know, I need to go buy a radio station. That's when the seed was planted. And a couple of months later, somebody called me and said, Todd, you're not going to believe this, but there's this little radio station in Memphis, and it's for sale. And we made some inquiries, and it was about that time I was in my final negotiation with Fox News. And at the end of the day, Fox said, we're going to end your contract. We're not going to renew. And the next week, the deal came through for the radio station. This was a God thing. I have no doubt about it. So we decided to take KWAM and turn it into a news talk radio station, but one that truly served Memphis and the Mid-South. The WAM in our call letters stands for We Are Memphis. And we want to serve our community. We want to serve you. And that's the reason that we have this radio station. We resurrected the old slogan, the Mighty 990 is what they called it. And back in the day, Johnny Cash had a radio program on our station. So did B.B. King. And Elvis Presley, when he was 15 years old, appeared for the first time on the radio during the KWAM Jamboree, which was held downtown in the old Godwin building. And there's actually a historical marker there designating that moment. It turned out he bombed. So there's actually no recording of Elvis singing because it was that bad. I mean, he was just 15 years old. You know, what are you going to do? It was like American Idol, a little pitchy dog. So that's what we're doing. We are now a news talk radio station, and Tim Van Horn is our morning show host, and he's doing a terrific job for us. And of course, I host my national show from 11 to 2. Just to kind of share some other things with you that we're doing at the radio station, I'm very excited about. We have dedicated our Sundays to religious programming. We're the Mighty 990 Monday through Saturday, but on Sundays, we're the Almighty 990. And we're very excited because we've launched some new programs. Henry has graciously agreed to host Awaken, which will be heard on Sunday. One of our new partners at KWAM, Eagle Heights Church, Grace Community Church, Israel Today is going to be a tremendous program, and Grace Chapel in Collierville. I just want to tell you right now, whatever you guys need, you let us know, and we're going to be there to support your ministries. Whatever it is, we're going to be there to support it. We are here to serve you. And we have a great lineup. Dr. Sebastian Gorka's on our program, Larry Elder, also Lars Larson, and some guys I know out of California called Armstrong and Getty. They round out the lineup at our radio station. Also, David, you mentioned the book. I have a brand new book coming out called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And so we asked our listeners around the country to send us inspirational stories. And they did. And we compiled those to a book. We threw in a lot of great Southern recipes. I will warn you, apparently we have a lot of Episcopalian listeners because some of the recipes, unfermented beverages are part of the ingredients. So, but we don't judge. We just eat. But it's a fun book, and it comes out June 20th, and we'll be debuting that at First Baptist Church in Dallas, and we'll be at the NRB. We're going to be traveling all over America this summer promoting the new book, and we're going to try to do a couple of signings here in Memphis as well. I want to share a few things with you, if you don't mind, and share some scripture. I'm going through some eye surgery, so I can't read my Bible, so I have to use the smartphone, so my apologies here. I'm not checking email while I'm up here. I do want to read some scripture because a lot of people have been asking me, Todd, what is going on with our country right now? What's happening in our culture? So I jotted down a few notes as I was preparing to come here this morning. And the title of these remarks is called The Great American Stirring. And it really is an honor to be here in this place. The worship music this morning, the focus on the National Day of Prayer, this is what it's all about. This is the foundation of our country. Gatherings like this in the early morning hours across the fruited plain, this is the foundation. If we are going to change America, it is not going to be through a political party. It is going to be through the body of Christ rising up and doing what the body of Christ is called to do. My new book, the one that just came out called Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. The whole point of that book was to alert America to what was a very new term called the cancel culture movement. This idea that there was a radical effort underway to erase our history. Really, at the heart of it, this is an evil thing that is happening in our country. And those of us here in the South, we understand this probably more so than anyone else, that this attempt to divide us along socioeconomic lines and race lines, that is of the devil. I got a lot of blowback, even at Fox News. They refused to let me do any of the primetime shows because the name of my book was so explosive, Culture Jihad. Back a couple of years ago, I was watching a 60 Minutes piece. And when the Islamic radicals invaded a country, one of the first things they did, they targeted that nation's cultural centers, and they literally turned everything into rubble. It didn't matter if it was a museum or a movie theater or a beautiful building. They destroyed it all and turned it to rubble. And then they came in and took over. And as I've been observing over the past decade or so, this has been happening in our country where they are literally tearing apart our society. When you look at what's happening in our public education system, this is the engine driving the change in our country. If you want to know why there's been such a radical shift on issues like gay marriage, like abortion, critical race theory, it's all happening inside our public schools. Those public schools have become indoctrination centers paid for by our tax dollars. And many Christians have decided, you know what? Our focus is going to be on Washington, D.C. But that's the problem. Because if you don't take care of what's happening in Memphis, Tennessee, you're not going to be able to change what's happening up in Washington, D.C. So my book is a provocative title because it is a jihad that has happened on American soil, a bloodless jihad, but a jihad nevertheless. And my concern was not at the time what was going to happen in 2020. My concern is what was going to happen in 2022 and 2024 and beyond, when the halls of Congress are filled with more people like AOC and Ilhan Omar and Vice President Harris. As I wrote in Culture Jihad, there is a war underway for the very heart and soul of this nation. And the polling data backs up every single thing I claim in the book. New surveys show that millennials and Generation Zers believe we should curtail free speech and religious liberty. They say that we should disarm law-abiding gun owners. They favor socialism over capitalism. Now, I know some of these folks don't have the sense the good Lord gave a goose, but this is where we are in the country. Just look at what happened over the past year in our nation. You know, for me, the greatest threat was not the China virus. To me, the greater threat was how quickly, how willingly our fellow countrymen, our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord were willing to surrender their constitutional, God-given rights. And if I'm a socialist, I'm sitting back and I'm looking at the landscape and I'm smiling right now. We got them. That's what they're saying. We've got them. So religious liberty, that to me is the bedrock. That to me is the issue, the number one issue. And if the church would just re-engage with the culture, I believe that we could resolve a lot of these issues. We are to be called salt and light, but unfortunately, the lights are off and we're on a sodium-free diet. And we got to fix that. We've got to fix it. The storm clouds are indeed gathering across this country, but I do sense a great stirring in the land. And I'm a very hopeful person. I mean, it's crazy out there. It's going to be a tough couple of years, but I believe that if we stand together and if we stand on the promises of God, we're going to get through this. And we are going to be that shining city on a hill. Abraham Lincoln warned us. He said, America will never be destroyed from the outside. Listen to this. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. A few years ago on CBS Sunday Morning News, Charles Osgood uttered the following words. Is the Constitution truly worthy of the reverence in which most Americans hold it? Mr. Osgood introduced a gentleman by the name of Louis Seidman, a professor of constitutional law at Georgetown University. He said, I've got a simple idea. Let's give up on the Constitution. He called it an ancient and outdated document. President Reagan warned us of what was ahead. Freedom, he said, is never more than one generation away from extinction. But he went on to say something else. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It has to be fought for. It has to be protected and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Now, there is a debate raging in our churches, and we need to talk about this because many churches are being neutralized with conversations about critical race theory and social justice. And I'm telling you that if those words are being uttered in your church, you need to be very concerned. The question is, what is the church going to do? Will the church take a stand? And many pastors are out there saying, well, the church has no business in politics anymore. The church has no business getting out there and getting behind a candidate or an issue. The church should just, whatever happens in America, that's just the way it's going to be. And I disagree with that. I just sincerely disagree with that philosophy. Let me tell you something. I am a strict constitutionalist. I believe in free speech. I believe if you want to write a book, that's great. You can write that book. Doesn't mean I have to read it. If somebody does a movie that I think is offensive, you know what? That's their right under the Constitution. You say, Todd, how can you say that as a good church-going Southern Baptist? How can you say that? Well, it's very simple. Because one day, somebody might come along if they're in the business of banning books, and they might ban my books. Why, somebody might read through the Bible and decide, you know what? That book's offensive. We need to ban that book. So we've got to take a stand. This is why I'm a purist when it comes to the United States Constitution. I want to tell you, though, I do have hope in America. Just last week on my radio program, a young lady by the name of Elizabeth Turner was on my show. She's 18 years old. She's a senior at Hillsdale High School in Michigan. She wrote a graduation speech. She's a valedictorian, and she's a sister in the Lord. And she was explaining this on my radio program. She said she had to turn her speech in. And the principal said, Elizabeth, it's a great speech, but you can't say the following words because these words are offensive. You can't say God, you can't say Jesus Christ, and you can't quote from the Bible. Now, I've been telling people for years, you got to take a stand. And you know what this young lady did? She knew that her constitutional rights had been violated. So she picked up the phone and called First Liberty Institute, a religious liberty law firm. And those folks were on that story faster than a pit bull on a pork chop. Long story short, guess what happened? Elizabeth, this coming weekend, is going to be able to deliver that graduation speech, and she's going to be able to mention God, Christ, and quote from the Bible. Because she took a stand. She took a stand. Later on today, I'm going to be interviewing a gentleman by the name of Tanner Cross. The guy could bench press a Buick. I've never seen somebody he's built. He's a gym teacher at a grade school in Loudoun County, Virginia. And man, they're fighting the good fight over there, moms and dads and preachers. They're trying to shove this radical sex and gender policies down the throats of the children. So Mr. Cross got up at a school board meeting. He was very polite, but he said the following words: I'm a Christian man. I will never lie to my students. That's why I cannot tell a little boy that he can identify as a little girl. He said, that is a sin. That is evil. I will not do it. Mr. Cross was then placed on immediate leave, and we don't know if he's going to get his job back. Sometimes there's a price to pay for taking a stand, but you cannot back down. You just can't do it. One of my favorite stories, Roy Costner, 18 years old. Roy now married and has a wife and a small child. Roy was also the valedictorian of his class. They told him he cannot talk about God, and they refused to back down. Roy went to go talk to his preacher, and his preacher said, Roy, you do what the Lord placed on your heart to do. You be respectful. You honor people, but you do not back down. Graduation day came. It was Liberty, South Carolina, Liberty High School. And something beautiful happened. Roy got up there, and they weren't going to let him walk onto the stage with anything in his hands. They didn't want Roy to pull a fast one. They weren't counting on the power of the Holy Spirit. So Roy walked up and got behind the podium, and I mean, it was a big old crowd there, and Roy's mama and dad were there, and grandma and grandpa, the whole graduating class. You're not going to believe this. They had five teachers censoring Roy's speech, and Roy actually showed me a copy. They used a black magic marker. It looked like an NSA document. Everything had been redacted. Yeah. Praise the blank, okay? That's what, it's honest to goodness, that was one of the praise the blank. So Roy walks up onto that stage, and he took the government-approved speech in his hands, and he held it high, and he literally tore it in half. He set it aside, and in defiance of the government, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Roy Costner, an 18-year-old from Liberty, South Carolina, and he took a stand. You say, Todd, what is this all about? There's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament. The prophet was standing at a riverbank. And as it was described in the Old Testament in this vision, there was a man who was bronze in color. I kind of imagine him to be like the Oscar statue, you know, that kind of bronze. And he had a measuring stick. And they waded out into this river. They were about ankle deep. And they looked around, and that bronze guy says, Do you see this? Do you see this? Then they walked a little bit further. They were about calf deep. And then they went down and to a point where they were knee deep. And in the book of Ezekiel, we learn in chapter 47 that there was a point in the river where the current was so strong that he could not stand. He could not keep his balance. And they noticed that wherever that water went with the current, something very interesting was observed. There were fish, little sea creatures. There was life. There was trees and flowers and shrubs. Wherever the waters went, there was life. And I'm afraid those of us in the church, many of us are still on the side of the river in that ankle-deep comfort zone where God can't really do anything with us. But you see, the point of this passage of scripture, in my estimation, is that God wants us in the middle of the river. He wants us where the current is strong. Now, some of you say, well, Todd, where's that river going to take us? I don't know. But you know what? If it's Jesus, I don't care. That's where I want to go. And that's where we need to go to be truly effective. As a body of believers, we've got to jump into the deep end of the river, and we've got to go where God goes. That's what we've got to do, brothers and sisters. John Adams said this, faith and freedom go hand in hand. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Want to know why we have chaos in America? They're trying to take God out of the Constitution. They're trying to take God out of the public marketplace. And we just cannot allow that to happen. In closing, I want to share a story with you. One of my favorite pastors, his name is Oliver Hart. He was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Charleston, South Carolina, during the early days of the Revolutionary War. Pastors were literally preaching politics from the pulpit. They were preaching sermons against the British. And I've read some of Pastor Hart's memoirs that were at Furman University. And I got to tell you, he was using language that was typically reserved for a Baptist Wednesday night business meeting. I mean, he was not very happy with the British. Some of you got that. Thank you. Some of you have been to a Wednesday night business meeting. Pastor Hart was so effective in preaching about freedom and liberty from the pulpit. Well, it turns out our founding fathers were having a hard time rounding up an army to fight the British. Nobody wanted to get out there and fight. So they heard about this preacher, and they sent a delegation to Charleston, and they met with him, and they said, "Wow, can you take that sermon, and can you go out into the farm country and preach that and help us round up an army to fight the British? Do you have any other preachers that could do that?" He said, "Yeah, I think we could round up a few." And sure enough, as history documents, Pastor Hart rounded up a bunch of preachers in South Carolina, and they went out there, and they helped raise up the army that fought for our freedom. I wrote about that a couple of books ago. And I thought the greatest observation there was that when it came time to fight for our freedom, when it came time to stand for liberty, our founding fathers, they didn't go to the state house. They came to the church house. And that's a message for us today. Well, I want to thank you for being so gracious, and thank you for the great work that you're doing. Thank you for this gathering. It's a beautiful thing to see believers gathered, worshiping together. Brother, that prayer, sweet mercy, that was a sermon right there. God bless you. And God bless you all. I hope you do listen to KWAM. We're going to do our very best to serve you and invite your friends to give us a listen as well. Thank you very much.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awe
awestruck wonder at the mention of your name, the name above all names. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Awaken Me. What's our job here? Our job here is to help the church engage outside the walls. That's what our real heart is, and that's what we're doing. We're meeting on Tuesday morning, hopefully to encourage you in your walk with God. And I get to come up here and kind of do the Great Commission Challenge each and every week. And so I want to ask you, pastors, how many gospel shares did you have in the first quarter of this year versus the second quarter of this year versus last year? Because if you can't measure that, you can't manage it. So do you know? And who are you training to keep up with that? There are a lot of people in this room that aren't pastors. How many gospel shares did your household? You're the pastor of your home, aren't you? For so many decades, I didn't understand how to do that. I didn't understand how to engage people far from God. But it's easy. It's simple. We started a group 7 weeks ago, Pursuit of God. Pursuit of God, we've got so many people saying yes now, I don't keep up with them, 3, 4, 5 a week. So we really, really, really want to be here to serve you. So where are we going with this? We're going on the radio on Sunday mornings. We're still available to come and help make disciples at your church. It's a short-term thing. We come in to help you get some skills that are easy where people can engage people far from God. People can engage people who aren't really following Christ well in discipleship techniques that anybody can do. We're also developing a website real quickly, JesusHelps.me. It's under construction right now. What's the purpose of that? It's when you meet somebody on the street and you get the good news to them and they want to know more and you just don't have the time, you just hand them a card and we'll be able to do that. There's a lot going on. We're also going to try to go on the road again, and we need all of you when we go on the road because we need worship, we need prayer, and then we need evangelists. So we need for you to be training people that are in your churches to be evangelists. We need people that are bold, that not only know how to share the gospel, what do they do if they say yes? Well, then what do you do with them? It's real easy. Those are the things that Awaken Me is about. Those are the things that we're trying to encourage you. We don't have the only way, but we do have a way that's real simple. There's lots of ways to share the gospel. We only pick one or two simple ones since most people, Billy Graham said, that the average Christian will never share their faith one time. Despite of all the sermons they hear, they won't share one time. So we need to change that. There's a million people that are far from God in Memphis. That means they're going to hell without Jesus. If you have an event, you need to let us know. When we get our website up and running, we'll put it on the calendar. I'm going to end with this. 2 Timothy 4:5. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the good ministry God has given you. Are you working at telling others the good news? Father, help us. Lord, we need your help. It's your kingdom. People are created and they belong to you. Father, help us to see. Help us to understand. Help us to realize how to make full proof of the ministry that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And It's so good to be in your presence, Lord. Just to know that you are God and God alone. I sing a song for you. Oh, how I long for you. As your river runs by me, it's so good to be in your presence, Lord. Just to know that you are God and God alone. I sing a song for you. Oh, how I long for you. As your river runs by me, as your river runs by me, as your river runs by me, I find life, I find peace, I find joy. As your river runs by me. Oh, one more time. It's so good. It's so good to be in your presence, Lord. Yes, it is. There's nothing better just to know that you are God, God alone. I sing a song for you. Oh, how I long for you. As your river runs by me. As your river runs by me. As your river runs by me, oh, I find life, I find peace, I find joy, I find life, I find life, I find peace, I find joy, I find life, I find peace, I find joy.
Let's join him.
I find life, I find peace, I find joy. Sing it out. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. Holy in you, Jesus. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. We declare. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. We find life, we find life. We find peace, we find joy. We find life, we find peace, we find joy. As your river runs by me. As your river runs by me.
Please join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on KWAM, the Almighty 990. To hear more messages from pastors and guest speakers of Awaken Me and worship led by Bruce Carroll and Paul Berkus, please visit our website, jesushelps.me. That's jesushelps.me. For questions, comments, or prayer requests, please email awakenme at info@jesushelps.me. That's info@jesushelps.me. Or leave a message at 1-855-775-3787. Once again, 1-855-77-3787. We are an all-volunteer group, so leave a message and we will return your call. Thank you for joining us today at Awaken Me. This is a Belly of the Whale production.